Proverbs chapter 10, and you can also follow along in the app in the Sunday morning sermon notes. Proverbs 10 says, verse 12 says this, "Hatred stirs up dissension, but love covers all wrongs." Proverbs chapter 10, verse 12, "Hatred stirs up dissension, but love covers all wrongs." Lord, would you bless the reading of your word this morning and help me to preach and communicate your word in a way that brings transformation and change. Holy Spirit, come alongside the words on the page and make them alive to us so that we can hear and be transformed and changed and not just be hearers, but doers of your word. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. The dictionary defines forgiveness this way. Let's take a look at the word forgive. Stop feeling angry or resentful towards someone for an offense, flaw, or a mistake. That's what it means to forgive. Stop feeling angry or resentful towards someone for an offense, flaw, or mistake. Easy enough, right? Sermon over. We're done. Isn't that easy? And if we could just do that, wouldn't it make it so much simpler, right? There's a website called The Forgiveness Project. And on that website, people share powerful stories of forgiveness. In April 1995, a man named Bud Welch's 23-year-old daughter, Julie, was killed in the bombing of the Murrah Federal Building in Oklahoma City. 168 people died that day when a massive truck bomb was exploded by Timothy McVeigh. I want to read you just a few lines from Bud's story. He's talking about his daughter who passed away in that 23 years old. He says, 3 days after the bombing, I watched Tim McVeigh being led out of the courthouse. I hoped someone in a high building with a rifle would shoot him in the head. I wanted him to fry. In fact, I'd have killed him myself if I had the chance. Unable to deal with the pain of Julie's death, I started self-medicating with alcohol until eventually the hangovers were lasting all day. Then on a cold day in January 1996, I came to the bomb site, as I did every day, and I looked across the wasteland where the Murrah building once stood. My head was splitting from drinking the night before, and I thought, I have to do something different because what I'm doing isn't working. For the next few weeks, I started to work through things and reconcile things in my mind. And finally, I came to this conclusion. It was revenge and hate that had killed Julie and the 167 others. Tim McVeigh and Terry Nichols had been against the U.S. government for what happened in Waco, Texas in 1993. And seeing what they'd done with their anger and their hatred and their vengeance, I knew I had to direct mine in a different direction. Bud recognized that the need to forgive was important, and it started a journey for him. It wasn't instant. It wasn't overnight. How many knows you don't get over something like that in one day? But there was a process that he went through where he realized, if I keep this hate and anger in my heart, I'm just like the one who killed my daughter. I've got to go a different direction. Other people on that website, they talk about their forgiveness stories and they talk about their hurt and their unwillingness to forgive. But also on that website are stories of triumph over revenge and hate. You get to choose how your story ends. 2 weeks ago, we started this series and we talked about what forgiveness is and what it isn't. I encourage you, if you've missed any of the last couple of messages, that you go online and take a look or in the app and listen, because last week we looked at why you forgive. Basically, we looked at the fact that whether you are a follower of Jesus or not, forgiveness is good for you. Whether you're a follower of Jesus or not, releasing hate and anger and feelings of vengeance and revenge, it's good for you. But if you are, listen to me, followers, if you are a follower of Christ, we looked at that last week and saw forgiveness is not optional. We saw in the scripture that if you won't forgive, God can't forgive you. We saw that this is a life or a death issue. And this week, I want to look at not just what is forgiveness and why do we forgive, but this week I want to look at how do I forgive? How do you forgive the person who hurt or offended you? And this, trust me, this is not easy. Many of us have been struggling for years with this area. I don't pretend to know all the answers this morning. Remember, this is a master class in forgiveness, but I am not the master teaching the class. Jesus is the master, and he's the one who knows best how to forgive. So I don't have all the answers, but I do want to share with you some principles, and then at the end, I want to teach you some practical steps in your journey toward forgiveness. Forgiveness starts with a decision. Forgiveness starts with a decision. And this is the decision. You have to base your forgiveness on them, on what God has done for you, rather than what the person has done to you. Forgiveness, it means deciding that I'm going to base my forgiveness on what God has done for me, not on what that person has done to me. Remembering that God's forgiveness towards me helps extend forgiveness towards you. I forgive you because God has forgiven me. I've received forgiveness, and who am I to receive it and then not give it? Heard a story one time. A little boy was sitting on a park bench in obvious pain, and a man came and sat next to him and said, "What's wrong?" And the boy said, "I'm sitting on a bee. Why don't you get up?" And the boy said, "Well, I figure I'm hurting him more than he's hurting me." Unforgiveness means you desire to hurt the ones who have hurt you, and the healing process doesn't begin until you get off the bench. Yeah. You may think you can't forgive because you hurt too much, and if you didn't hurt, you could forgive, and that's backwards. That's backwards thinking. See, actually, the hurt won't go away until you forgive. Forgiveness and healing are connected. God will heal your wounds when you stop attempting to inflict or wishing you could inflict pain on those who have hurt you. That's worth repeating. God will heal your wounds when you stop attempting to inflict pain or wishing you could inflict pain on the ones who hurt you. In order to forgive, you have to change your viewpoint, and you have to begin to see your offender through the eyes of Jesus. After Jesus' hands and feet were nailed on the cross, he looked down at those who were persecuting him and those who were inflicting the pain on him. And what did he say? Did he say, "Father, do it back to him? Father, get him back. Father, make them hurt the way I'm hurting"? No, that's not what he said. As they're driving nails into his hands and his feet, as they're mocking him, as they're whipping him, as they're putting a crown of thorns on his head, as they're stripping him bare, naked, and humiliating him in front of hundreds, he says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Even in intense pain and agony, Jesus looked on his persecutors with compassion. See, when you look through the eyes of Jesus, you can see the real need and even feel compassion toward your offender. Now, does seeing people through the eyes of Jesus mean you have to let them back into your inner circle? We looked at that last couple of weeks. The answer is no. No, forgiveness is not necessarily a reunion. Forgiveness does not mean that you're the whipping boy and that you just keep going back for more and more abuse and more offense. That's not what that means. Instead, to forgive means to choose to pay off the debt that the person owes you. To render the debt cleared from what they owe you. People might owe you lots of kinds of different kinds of debt. They might literally owe you money. Somebody borrowed money and never paid you back. Or maybe they owed you gratitude. They owe a debt of gratitude. You didn't think that they thanked you like they should have for that kind thing that you did for them. It hurts when someone ignores your contribution or your help, and it makes you feel used when they didn't show that appreciation. So you feel like they owe you a debt of gratitude. Maybe they did something wrong and they owe you an apology, but they haven't apologized. And in order to forgive them, you have to quit expecting them to repay the debt. Instead, pay it off yourself. Instead, keep books in your life and to keep those books at a balance of zero. You don't owe me anything. I'm rendering to you that you are debt free in my mind. Change your way of thinking from they owe me. See, if they really owe you money, decide you're never going to get it and move on. They probably aren't going to say thank you. They probably aren't going to apologize. That words that you think are going to heal you that come from their mouth, they may never come. They're not going to make it right. Quit expecting them to. Quit expecting them to make it right. Quit expecting them to repay the debt. Instead, your mind, cancel the debt. Cancel it. You don't owe me anything. Consider it over. When you're hurt, see, when we get hurt, our minds record that hurt. Our minds remember what it felt like. And every time you recall an injury or you recall that wound, you hit the play button and you watch it again. Remembering that event brings back the pain all over again. That person may have caused you harm only once, but every time you replay it in your mind, they're harming you over and over again, and you experience it hundreds of times, and your own unforgiveness causes that pain to be multiplied. And I just want to encourage you, stop replaying the hurt. Take it off replay. When the hurt comes to mind, instead of dwelling on it, move on. Pray, read your Bible, play with the kids, go outside. Do anything other than sit with that memory on repeat. Refuse to play back the recording. If someone tries to come to you and bring it up again and tries to get you to relive it or replay that story again, tell them, I'm not going to do that. I'm moving on. I'm moving on. To move on, listen, you have to focus on the future. If you spend too much time trying to analyze the past and reanalyze the past, and I know y'all because I know me, and we lay at bed at night and think about what they did to me and how they hurt me, and you can't even go to sleep and you're losing sleep over it because you're so frustrated and you're experiencing the pain over and over and over again. Listen, we have to say, I'm not going to live in the past. I'm going to focus on the future. I'm going to learn from the past, but I'm not going to live in the past. Because it's inevitable. You're going to be hurt. This is human life. This is human nature. Until Jesus comes back and fixes everything and eliminates all evil and all pain in the world, we're going to experience hurt. But when it happens, our response is a choice. And as followers of Christ, if you are a follower of Christ in the room today, I want to give you a new goal in life. Become unoffendable. This is one of the highest marks of spiritual maturity as a follower of Jesus Christ, is to get to this place where you are unoffendable, where you have no more buttons. They know how to push them. You don't have them anymore. Where you have come to the place you cannot offend me. When someone does something offensive, our response as followers of Christ ought to be, I love you, and no matter what you do, you can't offend me. I have literally, this is a place where I've kind of overcome some things. I have literally been spat in the face multiple times by angry young men who didn't want to be in a program and were frustrated. And there is almost nothing more, I'd rather be punched than have you spit in my face. And I've had it happen multiple times. It's not fun, trust me. And believe me, everything in you in that moment wants to like break somebody's neck when that happens. You know, like it's the most awful thing. But listen, there's something inside of me as I'm this is a hurting young man who's obviously angry, obviously has some things going on. I can choose to be like every other person in his life that has retaliated, maybe hurt him, maybe beat him, maybe spat back at him, maybe said awful things to him, or I can choose, you know what, even the worst thing you could do to me, it's not going to offend me. It's not going to offend me. When someone does something offensive, you choose to say, I love you, no matter what you do, you can't offend me. This is a goal in life. I'm not saying you're going to get here tomorrow. I'm not saying I'm here. I've been offended. I understand this is hard, but this is our goal as followers of Jesus, become unoffendable. Me being offended, see, isn't something you do. You might do the offense, but it's my choice whether I become offended. Yeah. I get to choose whether or not you offend me. And only you can choose the position of your heart. See, if someone else can determine the position of your heart, you're giving them way too much power and way too much control over your life. If you're letting them control your attitude, if you're letting them control your thoughts, and you're letting them manipulate you, you're giving them way too much control. Choose to position your heart in a way that pleases the Lord. Choose not to be offended. Apply that scripture that we read, Proverbs 10, verse 12. Hatred stirs up dissension, but love covers all wrongs. See, love covers wrongs. And because I love you, you can't offend me. I choose not to be offended. You didn't talk to me in the hall when I thought you should have. I have a choice. I choose not to be offended. You didn't send me the note that I thought you should have to say thank you. I could be offended, but I'm choosing not to be. You didn't visit me in the hospital, even though I didn't tell you I was in the hospital. I could be offended, but I choose not to be offended. You did something unethical or even wrong. I could be offended, but I choose not to be offended. You forgot to call me back. You forgot my name. You forgot my birthday. I choose not to be offended. Love covers over offense. You say, but Pastor, you just don't understand what he said. You don't understand what she did. You don't understand how I was hurt. Love covers over an offense. It is your choice whether you become offended or not. Proverbs 17, verse 9. He who covers over an offense promotes love. But whoever repeats the matter separates close friends. See, when you choose not to be offended, you promote love. If you repeat the matter, if you pass that offense on to others, if you gossip about it, you separate close friends, and you become an enemy of love when you do that. I choose not to repeat an offense and risk someone else picking it up. I forgive an offense, and I become a promoter of love. The Message translation, I love the way it says it. It says, overlook an offense and you bond a friendship. Fasten onto a slight and goodbye, friend. It's amazing to me, but I've watched people walk away from 20-year friendships because of one hurtful word. I've watched people throw away a whole lifetime of relationships because of one offense. Don't do that. Be bigger than that. In literary terms, there's this phrase called a compendium of his work. It's talking about an author. And they would say, you know, let's say an author comes out and he writes one bad book. He's written dozens of books, but there's one bad book. It's just sour. It's just no good. It's not enjoyable to read. You can choose to judge that author by the one bad book and say he's not a good author. Or you can look at the dozens of other wonderful best-selling books he wrote and say, based on a compendium of his work, based on all of his work, based on everything we know about this author, this is a world-class author. See, don't judge a friend by one offense or one misspoken word. Instead, consider the totality of your relationship and all that that person is. And when you do, you choose to overlook the offense and you bond the friendship. It actually, listen, you know, friendships can become stronger on the other side of offense. Friendships can become stronger on the other side of a wound because now I know that even on my worst day, when I make a bad mistake, that friend will still love me. You can actually make a friendship stronger by working through an offense. Still not convinced? Let's look at Proverbs chapter 12, verse 6. A fool shows his annoyance at once, but a prudent man overlooks an insult. Now, I'm not going to look at anybody in the room, but I just want to tell you that if you're the kind of person that pops off at the slightest annoyance or the slightest thing you don't like, the Bible calls you a fool. Not me. Now, don't get mad at me. Pastor Seth didn't call you a fool. The Bible called you a fool. The Bible says if you're the kind of person that you just fly off the handle at every little thing and you can't ever let anything go and you're just, it's so easy to get aggravated, you've got a short fuse. The Bible says that's a fool. But a prudent man overlooks an insult. In other words, a wise man, a good man, someone who is honoring and someone who is godly, they overlook an insult. You saying, Pastor Seth, I'm supposed to someone says something about me or even about my family, about my kids, or someone does something, that I'm just supposed to overlook it? No, I'm not saying that. The Bible's saying that. See, social media has made overlooking insults a daily practice. If you have Facebook or Instagram, you don't have to scroll very far on your phone until somebody posts something that's going to offend you or has the potential to offend you. Think about it. At no point in history have we ever been exposed to so many opinions. We're exposed to opinions on a massive basis, thousands of people's different opinions on a daily basis, opinions so publicly known. You're going to get insulted. When you're scrolling, though, you can choose, I'm choosing today. I'm going to fight. I'm going to pick at them. I'm going to comment. I'm going to get in an argument over Facebook. Or, you know what? You can keep scrolling. You can overlook that offense and say, you know what? I'm just going to keep going. I'm not going to engage in this. I'm choosing not to be offended by what this person says. Just keep scrolling. Just choose to overlook it. Bond a friendship. Promote love. Choose not to be offended. Instead, choose to forgive. Choose to say words of forgiveness. You may not have feelings of forgiveness, but you forgive anyway, because forgiveness is not a feeling, it's a decision. I can choose to forgive even if you aren't repentant. I can choose to forgive because I don't want to live with that unforgiveness in my own life. My forgiveness is not contingent upon your words or your actions. Instead, my forgiveness is based on my relationship with God and my understanding of God's grace, of how much He has forgiven me. And trust me, He's forgiven me of a lot. So if He can forgive me of all my insults toward Him, who am I to not forgive someone else? You say, well, I can't forgive. They didn't apologize to me. Choose to forgive before they apologize or repent. Don't wait for their apology because it may never come. Take the first step. It's tough, but you must forgive even if they never repent, even if you can't see that person or talk to them. Some of us need to pick up the phone this afternoon and make a call. Reestablish a relationship. Take the first step. Lay it down. Forgive. For others, maybe in the room, for some of us, it's just a decision. Today, I choose to forgive. There hasn't been an apology, but that doesn't matter. I'm going to forgive anyway. Some of you have been holding on to a hurt or offense for a long time. Give it up. Choose to forgive. Aren't you tired of carrying that burden? Others of you really want to forgive, but you're wondering, how can I ever forgive what he did to me, or how can I ever forgive the affair? How can I ever forgive my parents? Or how do I move beyond the past? How do I let go of the hurt? Can I really be healed? I understand. I have to give up the right to get even. I have to choose to forgive. These principles are great, but how? How do I forgive? I'm going to do my best to explain something that I've kind of learned and experienced over the years, and I didn't read it in a book or hear it. It's just things that you catch as you live life. Forgiveness is getting the hurt out of your spirit. You know, we have a spirit. We have a spirit being. We're spiritual people. And forgiveness is getting that hurt out of my spirit. I don't want to keep that in my mind. I don't want to keep that dwelling on that. And in some things, you can just passively clear from your spirit. You can just passively let some things go. Someone said something they shouldn't have, and later they apologize. You love them, you forgive them, you move on, it's over and done. The moment you choose to forgive them, it's cleared from your spirit. I don't have to work at it. You don't have to keep thinking about it. It's done, it's gone. A couple of weeks ago, someone apologized to me for something they said. I didn't even remember it. I didn't even remember they said it. When they explained, I still didn't remember it. It was just something. It didn't even bother me. I hadn't even remembered that they said it. Just washed away. It was passive. I didn't have to work at forgiving that. It wasn't even that big of a deal. Some things just passively just let clear from your spirit. You choose to forgive, and depending on your personality, depending on your nature and how you take an offense, the hurt's gone in a day, in an hour, in a few minutes. You don't have to work at getting it out. It's something that easily kind of, and all of us in some ways do this, but some people it's easier than others. Just let it go. It's not even a big deal. Other things are different. The hurt is profound. The effects are deep and they linger. The memory hurts, the hurt of betrayal, the agony of being rejected, the pain of being abandoned, the hurt of molestation or abuse. And you try to forgive, but every time you see them, every time you think about that person, every time you remember that experience, the effects of what they did, you get mad all over again. And the more you think about it, the madder you get. And before long, you are more angry than you were when it happened. And the anger builds up and becomes resentment and bitterness. In those instances, what do? When the hurt festers, when you have to face the issue over and over again, then you have to actively clear your spirit. And how do you do that? And stay with me, I want to show you. Remember, forgiveness is a decision, but forgiveness is also a journey. It's a journey. How often do you have to forgive? Every time you remember that hurt. How often do you have to make the decision to forgive? Every time it comes to mind. Actively clear your spirit. When that hurt resurfaces, you actively make the decision again to forgive. It's like the light on your dashboard check engine. Every time it comes in, you can ignore it, and that problem will get worse. Or you can go in and actively look at what's causing that light to come on and deal with it. That's what this active, it's every time it pops up, you can't ignore it. You've got to deal with it. When you actively clear your spirit, you say something like, I choose to forgive them. I give up the right to get even. I choose forgiveness. I will not allow this to stay in my spirit. I choose to forgive. Now, I know this is going to seem silly, but I want us to say this together. I want you to get this to become muscle memory for us. I want you to say this with me. I choose to forgive. I give up the right to get even. I choose forgiveness. I will not allow this to stay in my spirit. I choose to forgive. Sometimes you got to prophesy that before you feel it. Sometimes you've got to say it before you're there. Sometimes you have to claim it before you even want to. But if that hurt comes back, Pastor, does that mean that I didn't forgive? No. Doesn't mean that. You can forgive a hurt in an instant, but there is no method for forgetting the hurt instantly. Healing just takes time. And every time you remember the hurt, use as an opportunity to say, I choose to forgive. Use as an opportunity to practice the nature of God and find a way and make the decision to forgive. Don't let a reminder of the pain cause you to pick up the offense again. Instead, let the reminder come back and then give it firmly in the hands of Jesus and say, no, I'm choosing to forgive. Sometimes just thinking the thoughts and making the choice again solves it. Sometimes just take, hey, wait a minute, I'm letting this go. I'm moving on from this. Sometimes that helps. You can even have, you have forgiven until that hurt comes back again. When it does, when it comes back again, clear your spirit, actively clear your spirit. Sometimes it takes a little more. How do you clear your spirit when something stays there? When the thoughts consume you, when you can't get past the hurt or the feelings, when the saying words just doesn't work, what do? You find a place of prayer. You get still, you sit, you kneel, you lie down. Well, can I walk around and pace? No, because what happens? You start pacing and your energy's up. You work yourself up pacing around. You get angry, you need to get still. Get still somewhere, sit down somewhere quiet. Get somewhere where you're alone with the Lord. Get still, where your physical movements aren't mirroring your inner feelings. You begin to pray and you be honest with God and you say something like, God, I'm having trouble forgiving this person, and I'm hurt, and I'm mad. See, you can talk to God like this. Did you know that? God, I'm hurt, and I'm mad, and I'm having trouble with this. You can pour out that hurt and anger to God, all of it. You can tell God why you're mad. Tell him what you feel. Tell him what they did to you. God can handle it. He's a big God. He knew about it anyway. You aren't surprising him. Take as long as you have to. You tell it all to him. You pour it out. And this is important, you tell it to God and not other people. Choosing the sin of gossip to deal with the sin of unforgiveness is foolish. And it will never work. The right place to vent your frustrations is with the Lord. You can tell God absolutely anything, he won't repeat it. You can get it all out to him, and then after you vent it all, ask God to help you forgive again. And then you pray something like this: God, I will not let this person stand between me and you. I refuse to allow bitterness in my life. Help me forgive. Help me forgive as you forgive. Help me have your nature instead of my nature. I choose to forgive. I want us to say this one together too. God, I will not let that person stand between me and you. I refuse to allow bitterness in my life. Help me forgive. Help me forgive as you forgive. Help me have your nature instead of my nature. I choose to forgive. This is a place of prayer. Now, here's the key. Sometimes it takes 5 minutes. Sometimes it takes longer. But I want to encourage you, when you're having to actively clear your spirit and you're getting into this place of prayer, don't get up until you have peace in your spirit and in your heart. Don't get up from that place of prayer until His peace and His presence replaces the anger and the unrest in your spirit. Don't get up. You say, wait, don't get up till I love the person? I'm going to be here till next Easter. It's not what I said. I didn't say stay there until you love them or have warm, fuzzy feelings toward them. I said, don't get up until you sense the peace and presence of God washing away your anger and resentment. See, sometimes we don't pray long enough, y'all. There's something about you don't get up from the altar. You don't get up from that place of prayer. You don't leave the prayer closet until the burden has been lifted. The old saints used to call that praying through. You pray through until there's breakthrough. You linger. The old Methodist revivalists, they would call these benches up here the mourner's bench. It's where you went and mourned over your sin and the sin who had been done against you, and you didn't get up until you were done mourning. You stayed, and sometimes they did stay for hours. Sometimes they did stay for days. It's just up to you. Do you want to keep the burden and keep carrying that weight on you? Or are you willing to put in the time with the Lord until the Holy Spirit comes and relieves the burden and brings peace and brings His presence? One day, Jesus was in a boat with the disciples in the middle of a storm, and He stood up and He said, "Peace, be still." In this place of prayer that you're at, where you're giving your all to the Lord and saying, "God, I'm mad, I'm hurt, I'm frustrated, but God, I want to choose to forgive. I want to choose your way. I need this burden lifted." You stay in that place of prayer until Jesus speaks to your spirit and says, "Peace, be still." Don't get up until the peace of God is a more powerful emotion than anger and resentment. This is one of the times where your prayer language can be so important. If you've been filled with the Holy Spirit, sometimes it's hard to just know how to pray, and it's hard to know the exact words. Simply let the Spirit pray through you in that language, and the Holy Spirit intercedes, and He gives you the ability to forgive. He brings the peace of God and the presence of God with Him. Well, Pastor, what if the feelings come back again? Then you go right back to the place of prayer. What happens if it comes back again? You go right back to the place. You keep going back. See, if it's Satan that's trying to keep you from forgiving somebody, and he figures out that every time he tries to remind you of that hurt, it sends you back to prayer, he's going to quit real fast. If he knows, if I start poking that button in their spirit, if I start bringing up that hurt, and every time I do, it makes them pray, Satan's going to quit. He's going to quit bringing that back to you if he knows that when I mess with them, all they do is just go back to God. How long do I have to do that? Until you no longer have to actively clear your spirit. Until one day you realize that anger and bitterness, it's not in me anymore. I'm walking free. Won't that take a lot of time? Yeah, it might, but it's worth it. You get to experience peace instead of bitterness. You get to experience love instead of anger. And you can walk in forgiveness by actively clearing your spirit so you don't allow the negative feelings, the unforgiveness, the anger to stay. You clear it out every time it shows up. You don't push replay. You don't linger on it. You pray until frustration is replaced by peace. And forgiveness is an ongoing process. Every time the hurt returns. Actively clear your spirit again. Clearing your spirit is applying a salve to the wound. The deeper the hurt, the more you need to apply the salve, and sometimes the longer the healing takes. It's your decision put into action, and you'll feel like a weight has been lifted, and you can really be peaceful and free. See, unforgiveness is like a chain connecting you and the person who hurt you. Unforgiveness is like a chain connecting you to the person who hurt you. If you don't release them, you end up dragging them wherever you go. When you go to bed at night, that unforgiven person keeps you awake. You can't get away from them. The only way to get unchained from them is to forgive and release that person who has offended you. Unless you unlock the chains and release them, you will remain chained to them forever, and the hurt will keep hurting. You don't have to change your opinion to change your heart. Remember, from forgiveness, what is forgiveness? The first week. Forgiveness isn't saying it was okay. Forgiveness isn't pretending it didn't hurt. Forgiveness isn't saying what they did was right when it was wrong. No, you don't have to change your opinion. What they did was wrong. Instead, you're releasing them from the prison of your heart. And you pray this way: God, I release them from my anger. God, I release her from my hurt feelings. God, I release him from my disappointment. I know that I can choose the position of my heart, and only I can choose the position of my heart. And I choose to position my heart like God's heart. And you will discover when you say, set him free, you'll be free. Then once you've forgiven others, you can rejoice and receive God's forgiveness. And that's what it's at stake. Remember last week we looked at it. We have to go back to this because it's so important. Matthew chapter 6. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive them their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. So if you're not a follower of Jesus yet, I want you to know, forgiveness is good for you. Your life will be better if you choose forgiveness. Whether or not you ever choose Jesus or not, if you choose to walk in these principles, your life will get better. But listen, if you are a follower of Jesus and you're hearing me, this is not optional. We must forgive others. Our own forgiveness hinges on it. Well, Pastor, I don't want to forgive. It doesn't matter what you want. It matters what's right. And if you did everything you want, you'd be in trouble. Sometimes we can't do what we want. We have to do what is right. And the people you haven't forgiven have kept you from God's best in your life. God's best for your ministry. God's best for your relationships. God's best for your family. And I challenge you today to go through the process. Remember, is it going to be instant? Probably not. Maybe. Probably not. Is it going to be easy? Nope. Is it worth it? Yes. Absolutely. I want you to stand with me this morning. I'm going to ask the whole worship team to come forward, and we're going to do that song that y'all had planned to do earlier. I want to ask the deacons to come forward again and be prayer partners for us this morning. Just be standing here at the front, ready to pray with anyone who is ready to step forward today. We're just going to worship the Lord. And these three and myself will be up front, and Pastor Melissa will be up front. If you want someone to pray with you, remember I promised you every week what you come and say, hey, I know I need to get here. I know I haven't forgiven, and I'm not even ready yet, but I want to get there. I need the Lord's help with that. They're going to pray with you, and it will not get repeated. In fact, our pledge to you is we won't even bring it up again with you privately unless you do. This is a time just to have that agreement in prayer where God says, if any of you agree in anything, let it be done. And so they're just here to agree with you in prayer. God, I want to forgive, but I'm not there yet. I don't feel like it. Help me. I need your grace. I need your mercy. Whatever. They're here just to pray with you. But there might be somebody in the room today that you would say, actually, I just kind of need to get in a place alone with the Lord for a minute. And I need to pray those prayers that Pastor taught us to pray. I need to actively clear my spirit, and I need to decide in my heart I'm not leaving until the peace and the presence of God has come. I'm carrying a burden, I'm carrying hurt, I'm carrying unforgiveness, and I'm going to actively clear my spirit today, and I'm going to make the commitment. I'm going to come to this altar, or I'm going to kneel at my seat, or I'm going to find a corner somewhere. I'm going to find somewhere quiet, and I refuse to leave until the presence and peace of God comes. Until God's peace is the stronger emotion than my anger, my hurt. And so that's the invitation today. They're going to lead us in this song. We're all going to worship together. If you need prayer, if you want someone to agree with you in prayer, you can come and find one of these. Or you can get on your own someplace, and we're just going to worship the Lord. We'll be dismissed here in a little bit. But even when we dismiss, if you say, my peace hadn't come yet, I'm still hurting. Hurt and anger are still the strongest emotion. Even when everybody else is visiting and talking and making their way out the door, you make the decision, I'm not leaving until God's peace and His presence comes. And it's the stronger emotion in my heart. That's actively clearing your spirit. So I'm going to pray. They're going to begin to lead us in this worship song, and you're going to step forward if you need prayer or find a place of prayer somewhere in the room. And everybody's going to participate. If you say, oh, I'm good, I don't need to forgive anybody, my heart's clear, then your job right now is to worship and to pray and to build faith in the room. But if you say, you know what, I need to pray through some things, I want you to step forward here as they lead us tonight, this afternoon. Jesus, we pray, Holy Spirit, that you would come and bring your peace and your presence to every heart, and apply the healing salve of the Holy Spirit to every wound, every scar, every burden. And Lord, we pray, God, that you would help us forgive like you forgive. You forgave us of our sin freely, completely, and wholly. And Lord, help us to become more and more like you. If there's anyone in this room that doesn't know Jesus as their personal Savior, if we need to make that decision today to follow Jesus in the way of forgiveness, today is the day. Lord, let them come forward and let us pray with them. But whoever's in the sound of my voice, whoever's watching online, help us in this next few moments to actively clear our spirits so that we can be free from the chain of unforgiveness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's worship the Lord. If you need prayer, would you come forward?
Something happens when you move. Miracles all in this room. Holy fall in this place. You're all we want and all we need. A shift, a breaking, come move and be free. Holy Spirit,